All right, y'all may be seated. All right. 1,000 hallelujahs. Is that really us? 1,000 hallelujahs. Is that really us? We drop off. See the concern? What are some hallelujahs you have this morning? Waking up, grace. Rain. Life. Grace. Salvation. Keep them going. We said 1,000 hallelujahs. We're way off. Worship. Here. Forgiveness. Family. Say it one more time. Fords. Lakes and rivers. Where? No, shit. Health. What did you say? Preacher. Ooh, man. Whoa. Man. Any more? Bible. School. What? It's almost as bad as the preacher. Okay, all right. Church. Family. Music. Teachers. Church family. Y'all keep them. So this is what church is about. You know that, right? Giving praise to God, thanking God, gratefulness to God. That's church. That's worship. But too many times what we do is what we're going to see in Malachi chapter 3 today. We rob him. And we may not literally take a gun out and stick it up to his face, but we rob him. We just listed several things, praises, hallelujahs of God. And we don't have any of those things without him. None of those things. You understand that, right? The fact that we're sitting in this room today is because of God. The fact, I think the very first one, that we're breathing is because of God. The fact that we have jobs that provide paychecks is because of God. I mean, the list goes on and on, right, guys? You get the picture. We owe him everything. He's given us everything. He still owns everything. And yet we look at God as a secondary or leftover idea. In the book of Malachi today, trust me, I'm looking forward to this week a lot more than I was last week, I'll be honest with you. Last week was a tough one. This week's a tough one as well. The book of Malachi is a tough book. But this one's tough as well, but this is one that, honestly, if we could just look in the mirror, look at ourselves, look at our hearts, look at our hands and our feet, and say, okay, God, what am I stealing from you? What am I taking from you that's rightfully yours already? Now, we don't do that in our lives with other folks, do we? We don't steal from other folks, do we? Y'all are looking, y'all are thinking real hard. You ever told your wife you're going to do something and not do it? Jay, you're brown-nosing so much today, it's not even funny, okay? And Sheila's not even here, so I don't know why you're going down that road, but... Yeah, we've been down that road, haven't we? Man, I have. I did it yesterday. See, she's not here. I can get away with this. I probably have to go home and do it, but... I heard some pretty big games on yesterday, and I woke up, and Kathy's been coughing for 2 weeks. We knew that when she started teaching, she would catch everything her first year. We knew that, but she's been coughing for a couple of weeks, and then Ryan's running fever and can't talk and all this other kind of stuff. And I get up yesterday morning knowing that it's the third Saturday in October, and you grew up in Tennessee, you know what that means. But I was ready for the day. But I knew she was feeling bad, so I said, you know, babe, I know I got married, and when I got married, you cook and clean. That was just part of the deal. She's not here this morning. I said, you know what? I'm going to clean the bathrooms today. I'm going to do good. I felt good saying it, too. You know, it just sounded good. Well, I went back there in that master bathroom, and I whipped it out in shape, and I got done. And, boy, cleaning is no fun. Amen? I came out, and I looked at her, and I said, you know, Daisy's got a friend over. I'll just wait till that friend leaves, and I'll worry about that other bathroom after that. Well, that game came on. What happened to that other bathroom? It's still sitting right there. Yeah, it sure is. I sort of stole from her, did I not? Said I was doing something, didn't do it. See, we do it to one another all the time. Now I feel bad. I feel guilty. I feel like I need to wrap up and go home and clean the bathroom. Y'all want me to just go ahead and wrap up right now? Whoa, now. We do all those things all the time, and we don't even really think about it. We tell friends, hey, I'm going to be there, and then we don't show up. Stealing from them. But the bad fact of the matter is that when we do it to God, we're just stealing from everything He already owns. We're taking what's rightfully His. And then we expect Him to bless us more, right? Malachi chapter 3, only 3 points this morning. I was 1,000 hallelujahs is what I was expecting, but it says, starting in verse 6, it says, and this is a key phrase right here at the very beginning, it says, I, the Lord, do not change. Now, I could have stopped right there and had about a 3-week series, but I'm not going to go there, okay? I, the Lord, do not change. What's He saying to us? He's not like us, amen? Thank God, yes. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? We're questioning God here. Isn't that awesome? And God says, in tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Another key phrase, test me in this. Now, folks, I'm going to stop there, and I want you to understand something. When God starts to say, test me in this, He means business. Do you understand me? Test me in this. You ever stop and tell your kid, test me? You ever been there? You ever reached that point? Yeah. I just looked at Kelly and saw God for a minute. Okay? Listen. Try me. Test me. See what happens. It's exactly what God's saying right here. And it goes on to say, it says, Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Now listen, there's three things that we're going to take out of this, and it's going to be quick this morning, believe it or not. But there's the first thing that we see, and I really want us to focus on this. I want you to have an understanding of this, and that's the reason I pointed it out already. God says, I do not change. Aren't we glad of that? Man, you ever had one of those teachers or professors that said one thing and then halfway through the semester they change it? Is that fun? No, it's not. It's difficult. It's frustrating. It's all those things. And yet we see here and God says to us, listen, I, the Lord, do not change. That is a blessing and a hallelujah this morning. We serve an almighty God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, why is that so special, church? Because it makes it easy on you and I. Do you understand? There's no confusion in this. We understand what God has said He means, and what God said is truth. Amen? Did we not see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning? Some of us did. Some of us were not all there. Okay. But we look at this and we see this. Okay, God does not change. He's consistent. What He says is going to happen. Now, there's been many times in our own lives we will say something and then we do not what? Follow through. We do not do it. Okay? Words matter, right? So God is saying to us this morning, listen, I am the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So what I'm going to tell you here matters. What I'm going to tell you here is important. And that's what He's saying to us this morning. And He hits on a topic that maybe we don't really like to talk about too much. Amen? Y'all do it with me. Oh, come on, John. Come on. It's church. It's all there. You go. John's like, you know, we're going to have a talk after church. Okay. Listen. We don't like to talk about it, but it's mentioned more times than not. And there's a reason for it, okay, church? There's a big reason for it. Now, I'm not going to get up here and say, let's start passing the plates right now. Okay, there's not enough in there. Let's pass it again. You ever been to one of those services? I have been there. It's uncomfortable. We passed it 4 or 5 times before the gentleman was pleased with the amount, okay? That's not comfortable. I've also been in a setting where I've seen a lady. You hear the stories of the ladies making change in the plate. Been down that road too. Now that was a... You really want it back? Yeah, I don't want to give no 100. Maybe God needs 100 from you. I don't know, you know, but anyway. And so we see that, we talk about this, and it's a little uncomfortable. We have to bring the subject up, though, because God brings it up, and He says, listen, I don't change. And so what I'm going to say to you really, really matters here. And I want you to understand that I'm trying to get a point across to you so that you'll understand something that really, really matters. And then He poses out here in the book of Malachi and says, listen, how do we rob God? And it talks about one thing here, tithes and offerings. Now, we understand this morning there's a big difference between a tithe and an offering. Okay, if you don't understand, let's explain it real fast, okay? A tithe is something that we give to God, first fruits to God. Old Testament talks about 10%. New Testament, which is the preacher's favorite, talks about everything, okay, 100%, okay? That is a tithe. That is something that we do. An offering is like a free will offering, is something above and beyond a tithe, okay? So we have an understanding here. This is an offering sitting right here. This is something that's above and beyond. The food thing is that's considered an offering. If we start giving to the Life Center and we start doing that, listen, that's an offering. That's above and beyond what we've prayerfully said, God, this is what I'm going to do. Tithe. Okay? And so God is saying here, listen, this is about tithes and offerings, but guys, listen, when we rob God, we rob Him a lot more than just financially. Amen? Okay, now here's where it's going to get a little bruised knees, okay? We rob God in so many different facets of our life, it's not even funny. I'm looking out of a room about 40 folks, and in a room about 40 folks, there are no telling how many talents that each one of you have. You say, no, not me. Yeah, you. Absolutely you. We have talents from God and we have gifts from God that He gives us, and we never use them for Him. Not one time. What are we doing? We're robbing God, who gave us that talent. And listen, I'm not talking about like doing 40 flips in a row. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm saying you may be the greatest encourager. You may be a prayer warrior. It can be something as simple as common sense theology here. I tell guys everywhere I've ever been, listen, common sense theology, listen, you are a good mechanic. Guess what? That is a talent from whom? God for God. You love classic cars. Talent from God. You're a woodworker. It's a talent from God. Are we using them for God? Are we robbing Him of those things? It matters. All those things matter. The guy's saying, well, how do you rob me? And he says, listen, your tithes and your offering. Verse 10 says that we are to bring our whole tithe into the house. Now listen, it's between you and God what you tithe. Amen? Are y'all there? Okay. Do y'all want me to start telling you how much to tithe? No, you don't. Okay, I don't want to do that either. Okay, it's between you and God. But now, if you and God pray and you seek out the amount, okay, God, this is where I'm at. God, this is what you've blessed me with. Now, what's that whole tithe I need to bring back in? And you and God have that worked out, and you and God have that, and you're like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and then you stop doing it. Guess what? You're robbing Him. You're stealing from Him. Guys, I'm not going to preach health and wealth to you. I don't believe in that. But I can tell you what. When you bless God, He will bless you. I've shared from this pulpit times in my marriage when I can look at things in different circumstances and look at our incomes, especially in youth ministry and social work, and looked at that and gone, how in the world are we not in debt? Why? Because nothing that we've done, it's because God has been good to us. Because we've kept our word with God. God says, bring your whole tithe into the house. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. It has been a rough month. You ever have rough months? You ever have unexpected things pop up? You ever have extra doctor visits? You ever have unexpected medication that's a little expensive? You ever been down that road? Yeah. So does that mean we say, okay, God, I've had A, B, C, D, and E, so I'm sorry. You're going to have to wait until next month. Is that how it works? No. God says, you rob me when you don't bring the whole tithe into my house. You say, okay, preacher, that's enough on the money. Stop. We don't pay you to preach about money. So stop. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And here's where I'm going to spend most of the time. It says, test me in this. Now, that's a statement right there. Amen. Test me in this. God is standing before us right now, and He's got His belt off, and He's holding it. I don't know if it has a buckle on there or not. We're in West Texas. I'm assuming it has somewhat of a buckle on there, okay? And He's got that belt, and He's saying, test me. Test me. Now, is He doing that in a sort of a Kelly God kind of way? Test me! And I will put you down. No. No, no. But He is saying, test me and let me show you what I will do for you. Now here's the thing. Again, it goes back. We're making full circle here. And this should be encouraging to us this morning. Listen. Everything we have, we've already established, belongs to Him. So when He says, test me, what He is saying is this. He's saying, listen, test me in this. If you will do this, if you will bring your whole tithe into the house, here's what I'm going to do for you. And he listed out for us right here in the scripture. And this should be encouraging to us. If we will do that simple task, okay, God, I have prayed, I've sought you out, this is what I'm supposed to give, this is what you desire from me, my family. So this is what I'm going to do. Here's what God says. If you test him, I will do this. I will throw open the floodgates. Now, for most of us in this room this morning, let's be honest, those floodgates are already open from God. You hear me? You say, oh, Pastor, you don't know my situation. Do you live in the U.S.? Do you? Floodgates are already open. I heard that, JJ. I was like, hey. And we're a Texan. No pride coming out of this room. No, I'm just kidding. He wants me to get the flag and just do this. So I know. I am a Tennessean. We did save you boys, so I guess I couldn't. I'm just kidding. Oh, okay. Woo, preacher, get done. He said, I will throw open the floodgates. I'll throw them open in such a way. Now, have you ever seen a dam be opened before? Have you ever experienced that? The power of that? It's unreal. It's unbelievable. The power generated when a dam is opened. And that's the imagery I get here. This is what God is saying. Listen, test me in this and I'll do this. If you just bring your whole tithe in, I'm going to open the floodgate up. I'm going to open the floodgate so much in your life that you it's going to boggle your mind. You're not going to know what to do with it. I think that's pretty awesome. You say, that's health and wealth. No, that's what God says in Scripture. But the problem is that too many times we can't just obey Him in the first place. Amen? We get our budget seat, we play those extra things, we pay our bills, and we do all that, and then we're like, okay, God, I guess you can have this much. Sorry, I agreed to this much. God's sitting there going, nope, it's not the way it works. You know what we do when we wait till the end to pay God? We give Him our leftovers. We give Him a little bit of breadcrumbs. That's what we're doing. No, that's not what we're doing. Yeah, we are. Who should we pay first every single month? God. It's that simple. He said, I will throw open the gates. And it says, I will pour out blessings upon you. Now, does this mean God's going to, like, financial, okay, if I give financially faithfully every single week, I'm never going to have to worry financially? No, that's not what it's saying. But He's going to give you blessings in other means. Maybe it's friendships. Maybe it's the fact you live in a nice home and you don't have to worry about heating or cooling. Amen? I will bless you in other ways. What has it done even today, already this morning outside? What has it done? It's rained. Is that not a blessing from God? I said this in Sunday school, and it's true, and it's sad. You know, there are people, many Christians around the world today or different parts of this country today that maybe it was raining outside and they looked outside their house and they went, no, it's too wet to go to church today. We laugh at that, but unfortunately it's true. Oh, I don't want to get out in that mess. Wait, that mess, especially for us around here, is a floodgate blessing from God that we've been praying for. He goes on to say some other things. It says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. Now, again, we're not all farmers in here. We're not all agriculture. But I think we all have brains on our head to understand that if pests come and devour your crops, you don't have a what? A livelihood. He said, I'm going to protect you from that. I think the really big one, too, it says, all nations will call you blessed. All nations will call you a delightful land. In other words, all nations are going to look at you and go, I want to be there. I want to be a part of that. And that's where Jay's going to go. That's Texas again. Okay? I want to be over there. which opens the door for us to be able to say, why are we here? How did we get here? Because of God. Now, America, we're walking down a path right now that pretty soon we're not going to be able to say that. Do you hear me? God says, listen, I will bless you, I will protect you, I will throw open floodgates, but here's what you got to do. Test me in this. Bring your whole tithe into my house. It matters. So that's the challenge this morning. Malachi is challenging, okay, we have talked to God, we have prayed to God, we have come to an agreement, this is what I need to give you, God. But here's the question. Are you giving it? And guess what? I never want it to be between me and you. Understand that. The more finances I stay out of this business, this church here, the greater for me. Okay? You say, but you're the pastor. No, it's accountability. It's between you and God. Am I going to be able to judge you someday? Nope. And if I do, what are you going to do? Slap me, right? Send me back to that dentist I went on Friday. That would be nightmare enough, okay? It's between you and God. It's between you and God. God will judge you if you don't bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. So that's the question this morning. Are you doing it? Are you just giving God leftovers? Are you robbing God this morning of the blessings that are already upon your life? I think I'd rather be on the blessing side than on the curse side. Amen? How do we get there, preacher? You do what He's asked you to do. You do what you've agreed to do with Him. That's all you do. This morning, we haven't had a time of invitation in a few weeks. Some said, well, why don't we do that every week? Sometimes I just look out at the crowd. This morning, we are going to have a time of invitation. I asked the folks to come, so we got a hymn planned. And that's really the challenge I want to have for you. I'm not asking you to come to me and say, hey, this is what I don't. That's between you and God. But this morning, you say, you know what? I haven't been consistent on that in my tithes. Maybe I haven't been consistent in my talents. Maybe I haven't been consistent in my business, in my job, in my children, in my marriage. I've been robbing God in some of those areas. Here's what I would encourage you to do this morning. So, well, that's a bold step. It is a bold step, but we have an altar for a reason. But I can just stay in my pew. Yeah, you could. But that doesn't take any courage. I want to challenge you to come down here and talk to God about it. Make it right for you and God. Because it does matter, right? If you make a commitment with God, does that commitment matter, church?
Absolutely.
If it doesn't, something's wrong, okay? Something's wrong with the commitment, something's wrong with the covenant. So this morning, in all those areas, if you're robbing God this morning, I want to challenge you to come down here and just make it right. Maybe you say, you know what, mate, I really do need to pray with somebody. Listen, I'd be happy to pray with you. First, talk to God. If you need that, I'd be happy to do that with you. Let's do that together this morning. Let's stand together. It'll be short. If nobody moves, I'll cut the music off right in the middle of the song. But the opportunity's needed. Let's pray together.